Aaron Brown, who's our director over our Servolution, our outreach is here. Man, he's just been doing a great job. Been with us for, he and Erica and their girls, been with us for a while now, a few years. It's been amazing. Today's also his 40th birthday. Come on, somebody. 40 looks good on you, brother. I'm just telling you, it looks good on you. And 40 strong. And so, but he's going to share some things, a great message, but also with that, just some vision, man, what God is doing with our church, and just so excited and about what's happening this summer. So I want you all to give a great big hand for Aaron Brown as he speaks here today. Come on, everybody.
Love you, man.
40 strong.
Good morning. Yeah, I am 40. But you know what? I've come to accept it, and it's made me really think about something that Pastor Kyle had said last week, and we've heard it many times before, but that life is but a vapor, and it's hard to believe that I'm 40. Last night, I celebrated the graduation of my oldest daughter, which also makes you kind of stop and think for a minute, because how quickly she went from birth to 18 and being an adult and now out of school. And it ties in perfect to the message that I want to share today, because I want to talk about purpose and the purpose that we have here on this earth and what we're supposed to do. And because our time is short. And if we don't step forward and answer that call and do something now, we may miss the life that God has for us. And I don't think anyone in here wants to miss the life that the Lord has called us to live. It's so hard to believe that it's the 5th of June. It seems like we just celebrated the new year, Easter. You think about it, in less than 30 days, half of the year is over. And are we living the life that we wanted to live this year? I know I'm not. I have a lot of work to do. And I hope this message today speaks to you and that you may leave here thinking there are some things that you need to do and some changes that you need to make in order to live that life. So I'd like to start, you know, our lives have purpose. Each and every person in here this morning, your life has purpose. There are plans for you. And so I want to start with Ephesians 2:10 this morning. It's actually from the Living Bible that says, "It is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others." And then 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." We all have gifts. We all have things that we can pour into the lives of other people. We all have purpose. That's why we have Growth Track here in the church, because we want to connect you to the gifts and the purpose that God has for you. And we need to be living each and every day of our lives searching and living out that purpose to make a difference. Because here's the thing. God calls us to a service far beyond anything you can imagine. I mean, I think about my own story. 7-8 years ago, if you would have told me I'd be standing in a church delivering a message, I would have told you you were crazy. I was invited to play in church basketball leagues and would not go because I did not want to go into a church. And then today, here I am, a different person. You know, I'm not a pastor. I'm just a man going through life transformation. But the Lord continues to mold me. I am the clay. He is the potter. He continues to mold me into a new man, the man he wants me to be. Hopefully the husband he wants me to be, the father, the friend, the follower. You weren't created to just consume resources. Think about that for a minute. You weren't consumed just to eat, to breathe, to take up space here on earth. God designed you to make a difference with your life, to add to life here on earth, not just to take. But your call is to add to this planet and to make a difference with your life. You know, I was reading this week and came across Jeremiah, and I read this and thought, man, how true is it for all of us in here? I don't believe this one is in your notes, but it's from the Message Bible, Jeremiah 1:5, that says, "Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you." Holy plans to set apart. So before you were even in the womb, God had plans for you and it sets you apart to make a difference. That applies not only to Jeremiah, it applies to me and it applies to everybody here this morning. And it goes on to say, "A prophet to the nations, that's what I had in mind for you." We're called to live this life of difference, to be set apart. I'm probably not telling anybody in here anything you don't already know this morning. But I will tell you that there's a lot of us, me included, that aren't living our lives that way. We're not living the life that God has called us to live. Why? Well, we sit on the sidelines and wait for something to happen. We sit back and look at our shortcomings and say, "I can't do that." We sit back and we make excuses, or what I like to call, we live with big butts. Okay, now, we're talking about a butt with one T, okay? Let me give you an example. I want to have a relationship with God, but I just don't know how to pray. I want to have a relationship with God, but I'm just so busy. I want to be a better father, but I want to be a better husband, but I want to join that small group, but I'd like to get involved in church, but. We make a lot of excuses. And those excuses rob us of the life we're supposed to live. You know, we live in a world full of excuses. We all probably know that. One person, you probably make excuses. You may have even made some already this morning. Maybe. But we all know that one person who is like the king of excuses, right? I was playing golf with a friend last summer. And if you know anything about golf, golf is a difficult game. Shouldn't be. The ball sits right there. All you have to do is hit it. Seems simple enough. So the gentleman I was playing with, he had an excuse for everything. "Oh, the wind is so terrible. The ground is too wet. Oh, that fly was in my face." And I just wanted to say, "Hey, it's because you stink." Let's be honest. I do too, and that's fine. We can stink together. But he literally, in 18 holes of golf, I couldn't count how many excuses that he had made. But that's the life, that's the world that we live in today. It really is. Everyone wants to point the finger at someone else. No one wants to take ownership. There's excuses for why things aren't done. As I was reading this week, I came across this. Are you familiar with Career Builder? Okay, it's an employment website. And they recently did a survey to gather some of the excuses people use for calling into work. So I thought I'd share a couple of those this morning. I have a headache after going to too many garage sales. I drank antifreeze by mistake and had to go to the hospital. I hope no one in here has used that. If you have, please see me afterwards. I'd love to hear the story. I can't come to work today because I hurt my back chasing a beaver. I can't come to work today because I got my toe caught in a vent cover. And my favorite, my brother-in-law was kidnapped by the drug cartel in Mexico, so I can't come to work. That's the world that we live in. It's excuses. There are a lot of them. But here's the thing. Jesus isn't surprised by how much we excel at making excuses. He actually talks about it to his followers when he shares the parable of the great banquet. So I'd like to share that now. It's Luke 14, starting 16. It says, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to test them. I ask to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.'" Married a wife. Okay. So it's like, well, I can't go on that date because I have to wash my hair, right? I mean, that's kind of what this is saying. Here they are being invited to this great supper, and everyone has excuses for not coming. But you know what? If you look at the Bible, many of those characters that we hold in high esteem, they were excuse makers. Moses. Exodus 4:10. "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent. I am of slow speech and slow of tongue.'" Jeremiah made excuses to avoid the call in his life from God. He says, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." He uses that as his excuse. See, we think as people, we think that we make excuses that we're watching out for ourselves. But really, we're robbing ourselves of time with God. And we're robbing ourselves of what He has for us. Those excuses keep us from living the life that He wants for us. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk about eliminating some of those excuses and how we can do that. Okay, and so we're going to talk about eliminating the big but. Now, I love this analogy. I mean, I've even written a children's book called Maddie McNutt and His Big Butt, okay? Because I believe, and I hope you do too, that young children need to believe that they can live the life that they want if they don't make excuses. And so I've written this book, and I love this analogy. If you think about, if you really wanted to exercise and lose weight and really lose your big butt, there's certain things that you're going to have to do in order to accomplish that. So it's just a great analogy. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And so the very first bullet point there, number one, is you have to make a commitment. Who knows that if you decide that you want to lose weight and work out, that you can't eat a big pizza today and then say, you know what, tomorrow I think I'm going to start eating healthy and I'm going to go run and then don't do anything for 4 weeks and then I'm going to go do that again. You're not going to get the results that you want. Trust me, I've tried that. It doesn't work. Okay? It doesn't work. You have to make a commitment. Just like we as people, we have to make a commitment to the Lord. That's where it starts. We have to make that commitment and make it a priority. We have to make it a priority. Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." For somebody in here this morning, your big but is that you just aren't willing to make that commitment. You're not willing to commit your life to the Lord. You're not willing to commit to that small group, to starting that ministry. You're afraid, the fear. I'm telling you, freedom comes when you make that commitment. I've experienced it personally. The second is you have to trust the plan. So you make that commitment that you're going to work out, you want to lose weight, and you come up with a plan. And after a little while, you start to realize that you're not getting the results. And so, well, now I'm going to change plan. I'm going to do something different. You've got to stay the course. I think about the church. Let's think about the church for a minute. As I was reading this week, I came across this article from some man who used to be a pastor, and now he's an atheist out of Ohio, who a few years ago, when this church was started, wrote a blog post or an article about why Fort Wayne doesn't need Elevate City Church. Because it's the church, it's the city of churches. And in this guy's mind, the last thing that the world needs is another church. Kyle probably heard a lot that it would never work. Why would you want to start a church in the city of churches? It's a cemetery for church planting. But he trusted the plan. He stayed the course to what God had called for him. He stayed the course, trusted the plan. And you know what? This guy, this gentleman, I won't even share his name because I'm not going to give him I'm not going to share that gentleman's name who wrote that article. He's never even set foot here. He's never even met Kyle Mills. But he believes that we don't need this church because he saw a television commercial. The same television commercial that brought me and my family to this church 4 years ago. Trust the plan. Because I'll tell you this, your plan is not going to go as planned. Okay, you're going to put a plan together that's from A to Z, and there's this great thing, I've seen it floating around Facebook where it's this image of just straight line that goes up, this gradual incline as your plan. But the real image is it's this thing. Right? You have to walk a tightrope, you have to swim with alligators, you've got to do all of these things in God's plan. And it'd be very easy the minute that you get thrown into the water with those alligators to say, "Whoa, I don't like this plan, I'm done." But you can't. You've got to stay the course, you've got to trust the plan. You know, as a church, we are committed to the Weiser Park area. For many of you, last year, you know, for the last few years, we've been doing the back-to-school bash at Weiser Park. We started 120 backpacks the first year. We gave away almost 600 last year. That's been part of our plan. That's been part of the commitment. We're going to change that this year to make sure that we're reaching the need. So we're not going to have a back-to-school bash like most of you know it. We are going to enter a life-giving relationship with Weiser Park Elementary. We're going to come alongside the school, and we're going to meet the needs that they really have. So we're going to use funds. We're going to start by using the funds that were left over from last year's event, and we're going to provide school supplies during registration for those who need it. Then in November, we're going to partner with the PTA, and we're going to make their school carnival bigger and better than it's ever been. So instead of us setting up bouncy houses and things in the park and just reaching random kids that show up, we're going to create this partnership with the school, and we're going to make their school carnival larger. There's going to be so many opportunities for you to get involved at the school. If you want to read with kids, you want to come down and volunteer for events, at some point we're probably going to help them with their landscaping outside after some of their construction's done. There's going to be many ways, but it's a life, that's our commitment. And we met with the school principal and their social worker, and we were blown away at just how receptive they were and how hungry they are for someone to come in and pour into the children. We have to trust the plan. The plan may change. Our original plan was back to school bash. Someday we're going to give away 1,000 backpacks. But the plan has changed. We still trust the plan. It's just going a little bit of a different direction. And so I hope that excites you as much as it excites me, because we can make a true difference in the lives of these kids. Who here understands that we can't go to Weiser Park one time a year and feel good about that? We need to be there over and over and over again, and this new relationship with the school is going to allow us to do that. So we're very excited about that. So you have to trust the plan. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Number three, change your diet. Okay? So again, if you're on this weight loss mission, you're going to have to monitor your diet. You're going to have to change your diet, because We all know that eating pizza and ice cream and all of these things are not going to help us reach the end result. If you're going to live a life of no excuses and live the life to the fullest, the life that God wants, you're going to have to monitor your consumption. You're going to have to consume more of the good and less of the bad. You need to consume more of God and less of man. We have to change what we consume because we become what we eat, what we hear, we become what we think about, we become who our friends are. And so if you have negative people in your life, it's going to be hard for you to reach your goals. Because you can shield negativity as long as you can, but at some point it's going to seep in. It's bound to happen. And so you have to change your intake. I love this scripture, Deuteronomy 7:26. Do not bring a detestable thing into your house, or you, like it, will be set apart for destruction. Regard it as vile and utterly detest it, for it is set apart for destruction. Negative relationships are a destructive force. And if you buy into the lies of man and the lies of the enemy, it can consume you and destroy you if you let it. So we have to change what we consume if we're going to live a life of no excuses. More good, less bad. Number four, we're going to take action. You have to do something. You can make commitments and plans and you can change your diet, but if you're just going to sit around and not do something and take some level of action, things aren't going to change. You have to take that first step into something. James 1, 23 through 25 says this, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." For some of you this morning, it's a matter of taking that first step. You've got to do something. You've got to go from here to there in order to start the ball rolling. So for some of you, it could be that first step. It could be that first jumping jack. Maybe it's that first call that you need to make to someone. Maybe you need to attend the first growth track. Or maybe you need to serve for the first time. You've got to do something to take that step forward. You know, we talk about serving. I mean, that's my passion. That's what I'm on this planet for. That's my purpose, is to engage and challenge people to do more. And we have a great opportunity coming up in July that we want to share with you. We are partnering with over 150 churches around the country for a National Serve Day, okay? So for those of you that know, the third Saturday of each month, we started a Serve Day. We've been doing that for 6 or 7 months now. It's been wonderful, been outreaching the community. So July 16th, we are actually having a Serve Day where we're partnering. And I like to say they're partnering with us. Right? I mean, there's 150 churches around the country partnering with Elevate City Church. But we're going out and we're going to serve, and it's going to be an unbelievable opportunity that I hope you all join in. All right, I'm extremely excited about this opportunity. In your worship guide today, you should see something like this that has the date. I'm going to ask you, or maybe even challenge you right now, to save that date. All right, we're talking about not making excuses. Okay, this is a great way for us to get out and serve our community. So there are going to be 6 different types of projects. There may be more. You know, we had 170-plus people volunteer for our back-to-school bash last fall, and the church has grown tremendously since then. So we're expecting a lot of people. And so if we need to go add 8, 10, 12 types of projects, bring on the work. Okay, we'll do that. But there's going to be car washes. So we're going to do some $1 car washes. So simply, We're going to have set up car wash stations around the city, and we're going to promote a dollar car wash. And when someone comes in to get their car washed and they start to pay us a dollar, we're going to refuse their dollar, and we're going to give them a dollar. Okay, along with a card that shows them that God loves them. We're also going to be doing some debris removal. If anyone's in here likes to work in hoarding situations, we may even have a hoarding situation that we can help with. Okay, wheelchair ramp construction, just some general helping hand stuff. Listen, we want it to be family friendly, and we also want it for everyone. So don't feel like, well, I can't do all of these things, because here's the thing. I've done a lot of work. We're going to be partnering with an organization called NeighborLink. And what's so awesome is that at every one of our project sites, we're going to have the opportunity to connect with the homeowner. Okay? That's the most important part. And so if you physically can't do the work of raking leaves or pulling weeds or washing windows or whatever their need may be, that's fine. You may be able to sit on the porch and get to know that person and help us pray for that person. Because it's about the relationship. It's about reaching that life. So this day, July 16th, is going to be amazing. If you're a QR code person, you can scan this code, and it'll actually take you to the website where you can sign up. And I think we even might have set it up where you can select what your preferred type of project would be. But get involved. Don't make an excuse. Make it happen. Be a part of it. Because let me tell you this, that self-healing happens when you're helping others. So whatever it is that you might be going through, you will find healing in serving and helping other people. Not to mention the fellowship that comes along with it when you're working alongside people and you build relationships. You know, there's a lot of people in this church that my relationships with them have been solely built on serving together. And then along that became friendship. And now I can talk to those people. And we need people. So take action, and if you're going to live this life of no excuses, you have to be willing to take that first step into something. I don't know what your big but is, but I can guarantee you that there's a next step or a first step that you can take this morning, this afternoon, in living that life that God has for you. Amen, everybody? All right, number five. We have to persevere through injury and temptation. It's going to be there. If there's been anybody who's played any level of athletics, a runner, a biker, something, you've experienced injury. You know, one of the things for me is I turned 40. I've kind of made this commitment that I'm going to run the half marathon at the Fort for Fitness this fall. Now, I haven't signed up yet, so there's still a chance for me to back out. But 2 weeks ago, I started, you know, really training for it, using an app, and they're telling me how many miles I'm supposed to run and all that. And I actually ran 5 miles yesterday, and when I was done, I wish I didn't have legs. Actually, before I even started, I wish I didn't have legs because they were still sore from the day before. It'd been very easy for me to say, oh, I'm not going to do it today. Ah, I hurt. Wow, my ankles hurt, my knees hurt, my back hurts. And those are all true, okay? I'm realizing when you get to 40, things start to fall apart, okay? So extremely sore and tired, and it'd be very easy for me just to say, I'm not going to do it. And so you're going to face injury in whatever your walk is and whatever that thing is that you are called to do. You're going to face injury. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt by people that you care about. It's going to happen. I see constantly, you know, on social media, you know, where people lose faith in humanity because something happened. You know, we have to realize we're going to get hurt. We're going to be injured. As long as we're still breathing, let's move forward. Let's move forward. We have to persevere through that. We have to continue to move forward. And you're going to be tempted. Oh, that pizza sure looks good. That birthday pie, I'd really like to eat the whole thing. I mean, I'll just try to do one, maybe two, right? Temptation is going to be there. The enemy is going to put things there in front of you because he doesn't want you to live the life that God wants for you. So you have to be willing to work through that and persevere through that. James 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. It's going to happen. Life's not all rainbows, right? You're going to have pain. You have to work through it. You have to persevere through it. Last point this morning, you need to find accountability partners. You need people. If you've ever worked out, it's a lot easier to work out and run when there are other people doing it too. Someone who can hold you accountable. And guess what? Today is small group rally day. It's a great day because you can sign up for a small group and build relationships with people, because you need people. I need people. We need people to look at our butts. Think about it. We need people who are going to hold us accountable to that when they say, Aaron, you know what? Those decisions that you're making, those words that you're speaking, that's not who you are. That's not the path that you want to go. We need people who can speak life into us, because the world is going to speak death into us. And people are not going to be on board with what it is you want to accomplish. And that's why you need people. You need people. So sign up for a small group today. Get connected. And if you need an accountability partner, look me up. I mean that this morning. If you need somebody to come alongside you in whatever it is, I want to help be that person for you. Because we need each other. We need each other. I just want to close with just a couple thoughts. As I drove here this morning, I just thought about how big the plans are that God has for all of us. And that if each of us made the decision to stop making excuses, imagine how many lives we could impact. That's what's so exciting, that we can truly change the world, maybe by making one decision. What if I told you that you were one decision away from a completely different life? What if you took that step, that first step, into the life that God wants for you? The treasure that awaits is unbelievable. We have to stop waiting for something to happen. We have to make it happen. And we have to stop making excuses. And we have to stop living our lives with big butts. Will you bow your head and join me in prayer? Father, I thank you for the message that you've given me this morning and the opportunity to share it here with my family. I pray that the words you spoke through me this morning were received, and people in this room will see their value, understand that their lives have purpose, and that they'll make a decision today to stop making excuses. Father, I pray that in the days, weeks, and months to come, that all of us here this morning will take steps forward in our relationships with you, a relationship with no excuses. Now, for some of you, your big bud is not having a relationship with God. You make excuses that keep you from knowing him. This morning, you are one decision away from a different life. You just have to open your heart and let him in. In just a moment, I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond to God this morning as he calls out to you. On the count of three, I'm going to ask that you slip up your hand. I'm not going to call you out or ask you to come down to the front. Simply just raise your hand so that we can see it. I'm believing this morning that this is the morning for many of you, and that some of you just need to say yes to Jesus. On the count of three, one, two, three. I see that hand. Is anybody else that, yeah, I see that hand. Thank you. Welcome him in. I see those hands in the back. Thank you. Now, Elevate, I just ask that you say this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I love you. Thank you for being my Lord and Savior. Thank you for being my rock. Thank you for being my best friend. Today, I give my life to you. It's a new day for me. Forgive me for living the past my way. Today, I move forward with you. Amen. Let's give God a hand for all that we've done this morning.